and other writers' works, like C. Van Woodward's The Search for Southern Identity, biographical summaries, lists of suggested themes, and overheard dialogue, which often seems taken from one of her novels. "I never been any place," says a Biloxi woman, "I wanted to go." In her notes, we learn of her reporting tricks, which are less tricks than an intuitive genius for locating the people in a given community who will best reveal its character: the director of the local college of cosmetology, the white owner of the black radio station, the bridal consultant of the largest department store. The notebooks also include transcriptions of her observations, which she typed at the end of each day. These notes represent an intermediate stage of writing, between shorthand and first draft, composed in an uncharacteristically casual, immediate style. There are sentences that are ideas for sentences, paragraphs that are ideas for scenes. "The land looks rich, and many people from Birmingham, etc., rich people, maintain places here to hunt. The country way in which he gave me names. The resolutely colorful, anecdotal quality of San Francisco history. The sense of sports being the opiate of the people. The sense of not being up to the landscape." The effect of reading sentences like these can be jarring, like seeing Grace Kelly photographed with her hair in rollers, or hearing the demo tapes in which Brian Wilson experiments with alternative arrangements of Good Vibrations. Yet even in its most casual iteration, Didion's voice, with its sensitivity to the grotesqueries and vanities that dance beneath the skim of daily experience, is unmistakable. "The New Orleans atmosphere," she writes, "never reflects light but sucks it in until random objects glow with a morbid luminescence. The audience dutifully watching Loving at the movie theater in Meridian gazes at the screen as if the movie were Czech. The rivers are always brown and still, a sense," she writes, "of water moccasins." Didion's implacable fatalism is at home in the South, particularly in New Orleans. "Bananas would rot," she writes, "and harbor tarantulas. Weather would come in on the radar and be bad. Children would take fever and die." She made her tour in a rental car, but the road trip aspect is barely commented upon. Instead, we have the surreal image of Didion swimming her way across the Gulf South through its motel pools. At the Edgewater Gulf Hotel in Biloxi, the water smells of fish. At the Howard Johnson's in Meridian, a child dries off in a Confederate flag beach towel. At the Ramada Inn in Tuscaloosa, everything seemed to be made of concrete and damp. In Winfield, the pool is filled with algae. At the Oxford Holiday Inn, the broadcast of a radio station can be heard underwater. And at the St. Francis Motel in Birmingham, her bikini attracts excited comment from the bar. Lying poolside, she feels the euphoria of interstate America. "I could be in San Bernardino or Phoenix or outside Indianapolis." But these motels have the appearance of stage sets. They are American markers artificially planted in the brooding wildness of the Deep South, which in these notes resembles a foreign country as exotic as El Salvador, Vietnam, Grenada, or the other tropics of morbidity and paranoia and fantasy to which she gravitated in her nonfiction and fiction. Even the glimpses of unlikely beauty, the wild carrots growing around the raised railroad tracks in Biloxi, the small girl sitting in the sawdust stringing pop-tops from beer cans into a necklace, contribute to the general atmosphere of uneasiness, rot, and somnolence so dense it seemed to inhibit breathing. There is a long tradition of northern visitors seeing in the Gulf South an atmosphere of perpetual decline, in which everything seems to go to seed. Didion quotes Audubon's line about the dangerous nature of the ground, its oozing, spongy, and miry disposition. Though you could go back to 1720, when a visiting French official described the territory as flooded, unhealthy, impracticable. Didion is on narrower footing, however, when she describes her central thesis. "A sense," she writes, "which struck me now and then, and which I could not explain coherently, that for some years the South, and particularly the Gulf Coast, had been for America..."